We begin the current daf Masechta Kesubos, daf Mem Vav. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues on this discussion of Meitzi Shemra. So the Gemara says, turn by Lina Braisa. The pasuk in Devarim says that if this person was what's called Meitzi Shemra, he spread false rumors about his new wife that she wasn't a Besula and really she was. So V'anshuay, so they punish him. So the Braisa expounds that means to say Zemom. That's a reference to the penalty of 100 Sloim of money. And the Yisru, and that they cause him pain, Zemalkus, that's a reference to lashes. He gets both of these punishments. So the Gemara asks, Bishlem of Anshu Zemam, we could understand the interpretation of the Braisa that when it says that they punish him, that means the money. Just simply like the Pasuk uses that terminology in describing the punishment of the 100 slime. It says, V'anshu oisai meyakasev, that they punish him the 100 coins. V'nasla b'yanar, and he gives that to the father of the girl. Where do we know that the term b'yisru, causing yisurim, is a reference to lashes? So Amar Bavo, he says, Lamanu, we learn out, yisru mi yisru. And here it says b'yisru oisai. And it says regarding ben seir meir, it also says the term yisru. Now, v'yisru mi ben. In other words, just like over there by ben seir meir, we use the term yisru, it has the term ben there too. So here also, it's as if it says over here by the Meitzi Shemra the term ben also. Now, so essentially what we're saying is that we can say that if there it says yisru, here it says yisru, so there it says ben, so it's like it says ben also over here. So now that it says ben over here, so we learn out uben, we learn out the ben that now we extended to over here to the Meitzi Shemra mi bin from vahoyim bin hakoyis rasha. Where, just like over there, that pasuk is a reference to the wicked person getting malchus. So here also, just like over there, it says bin. Here it also says bin. Now, it doesn't really say bin, but here it says yisru. But thereby, ben seir meir also says yisru. And there it has the word bin. So it's like as if it says bin here also. And now we can learn a bin from the bin of vayim bin hakoyis rasha. Just like over there means malchus. Here also, it will mean malchus, again, as an extension of the word yisru. Now the Gemara continues and says, "Azhar la Meitzi Shemra menon." Where do we know? We know that there's a punishment for Meitzi Shemra, but everything that has a punishment has to have a warning. Where do we find the warning for that in the Torah? So Reb Lazar, he says, from a pasuk in Mayukra, that's from Miloy Selach Rachel, from the Torah that says that you shouldn't go ahead and slander somebody, which is essentially what this husband that's the Meitzi Shemra is doing. So that's his Azhara, and the Einish is like it says in the Torah. Reb Nosson, he says it's from a pasuk in Devarim. That says from mivnishmar to mikol davara, that you should safeguard yourself from any bad thing. Now the word davar could also mean besides thing, word, speech. So, and anytime it says he shamar pen or al, it's a reference to a loisa, say a negative prohibition. So he shamar is telling you vinishmarta that it's a negative prohibition if kol davara from saying this bad speech, which is what the Meitzi Shemra is doing, and that's the azhara, the warning for what the Meitzi Shemra does in the Torah. So the Gemara wonders regarding each interpretation. Rabbi Lazar, my time alo amma mahai. Why didn't Rabbi Lazar say from the pasuk of Nishmarta? He says because ahumi boilai likud Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. He requires it like Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair expounds that pasuk in Masechet Avodah Zarah in a different way, where it says v'nishmarta b'kol davara, that you should safeguard yourself from every evil thing. Mikanam Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, he interprets that pasuk. What does it mean that you should safeguard yourself from any evil thing? What does that mean? Al yahar adam b'yayim, a person should not think illicit thoughts during the daytime. V'yavil l'day tuma b'layla, and then come to impurity at nighttime. Because actually the pasuk after that says, ki yibacha ish, etc., where it talks about if someone has a seminal emission. So the pasuk is telling you, v'nishmarta, safeguard yourself from any evil thing, meaning don't think about impure thoughts, and because then you'll come to carry b'layla. That's what the pasuk is talking about. Not regarding davar as in speech, regarding the warning for the Meitzi Shemra. Rav Nosson, my time alo emer mahai. Why doesn't Rav Nosson learn from Leiselech Rachel? And that the Gemara says, Hahu Azhar la Bezdin, because he doesn't learn the pasuk that way. He learns it as a warning to Bezdin, to the courts. Shalayhe Rachel azeh v'kash lazeh, that they shouldn't be soft to one of their litigants and harsh on the other one. Where he interprets Rachel as Rach li, be soft to me. And the Bezdin is Leiselech Rachel. They shouldn't go in that way of being soft to one and hard on the other one. And therefore he doesn't have that to interpret as a warning to the Meitzi Shemra not to spread slander regarding his new wife. Now the Gemara continues with the Braisa that says that Loi Amala Eidim. Let's say this person, who his wife has witnesses who say that she was mazana, let's say he didn't tell them, he didn't tell them, go ahead and say this about my wife, that to say that you know that she was mazana, we were engaged. Rather, and they on their own, the morning after the wedding, they come and they say that she was mazana when they were engaged. So on that, the Braisa says, who ain't a loika, ve'ain a nice main slime. So he doesn't get lashes, he doesn't give the 100 slime. Because although that fits into the storyline of the next morning, he comes and the witnesses come and verify that she was mazana, since he didn't ask them to come and they came on their own, although this is the claim that he's saying, he's going to be exempt. And rather, he v'zememel makdim le'beis haskila, rather they can take the woman and the false witnesses and take them to be stoned. So the Gemara wonders on that, on the phrase, he v'zememel sokataydach, could she and the edim zemim go to the beis haskila? It's either one or the other. Either they're saying the truth and therefore she gets stoned, or they're saying the lie and therefore they get stoned. Ella, rather, what the Braisa was saying was, either her or the Eid Mzayman, quickly the next morning we take them to be stoned because there's no way out of what they had done, and that is if what they said is true, she gets stoned. And if what they had said was false, their Eid Mzayman, what they wanted to do to her, they get back done to themselves, and therefore they get stoned. Now, the Gemara clarifies this Braisa that seems like time de la amalahu. The reason why he'll be exempt from the penalties that are levied against Amayti Shamra, because he didn't tell them to come and verify his claim and that to say that she was mizana when they were engaged. Ha'amalahu, but if he did tell them to say this testimony and it turns out that he was lying, that he does get the penalty. It sounds like that as long as he told them, afagav de la agrino, even though he didn't hire them, he didn't pay them, even though if they did it for free. That the Gemara says, "Lafuka mi Rabbi Huda, this brisa must be going not like Rabbi Huda." The Tanakh learned the brisa. Rabbi Huda, I mean, he says, "Ein achayev ad sheyizkar edim." The Mitzvah Shemra is not liable for spreading these false rumors to get the punishment of the 100 kesef and of the malchus only if he hired the false witnesses. So the Gemara says, "My time, Rabbi Huda. What's the reading of Rabbi Huda?" On Rabbi Vo, he says, "Asya sima sima." We learn that exerusha from the term of sima of placing, where tzivachet says over here. By the Mitzvah Shemra, the Samla Lilas Dvarm, that he placed for his wife this scheme, this plot. Uksev Hasim says within Shemais, Lois Sim no Lov Neshach, regarding a different area of halacha, that one should not place upon the person that he's lending money ribis, interest. So we say, it says by both terms, some placement, Mala Halamama, just like by Neshach, by ribis. It's a reference to placing of money. Safkan Mam and Heroso, when it says that he was some lalilis dvarim, how did he plot this? By bringing these two witnesses, it has to be through money that he had hired them. And therefore, that's the machlik is to Rabbi Huda and our Braisa. Now, Amr of Nach Yitzchak, that Bechain Taner of Yosef Tzidaini, Bei Rabbi Shimon Yochai, by the Yeshiva Rabbi Shimon Yochai, that Asya Sima Sima, that the way Rabbi Huda knows this halacha is because, again, as we said, this Kzei Yeshav of Sima Sima. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the following question. According to this interpretation of Rabbi Huda, that it has to be that he hired the witnesses who were swearing, who were testifying falsely, because we learned that from Ribbis. So Scharin Bekarka, if let's say he hires them through land, Maha, what's the halacha? In other words, he doesn't pay them with metalim, with movable items, or with money. He pays them with land. Now, since we're learning it out from Ribbis, from interest, there, it has to be either money or edible items, things that could be movable, because that's the halacha that applies to ribbis. And therefore, if you're hiring them by paying them with land, it wouldn't apply to the parsha Mitzvah Shemra, because that's not the same as ribbis. Or do we say that no, what we learn out from ribbis is not exactly precisely all the details. It's going to be monetary, and therefore, even if you hire them with land, it will still be a violation that will make him responsible for the knas of Mei Kesef and of Malkus. Question number two was similar, but Pachas Mishava Prutuma. What's if he hires them and he pays them less than the value of the lowest denomination of the coin, of less than the Pruta? Again, the same question where it's money and he's hiring them, but for Ribbis it wouldn't qualify. And similarly, Shneim Beprutuma, what would be the halacha if both of them he's hiring, he's giving them a Pruta, but it's each one's getting a half a Pruta? Again, they wouldn't be qualified for Ribbis, but it would still be hiring them. That's the question. Essentially, Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking, does it go to the nitty-gritty details or just this general concept of money? Similarly, related, the Gemara says, Bayer Avashi, he says, Haitzi Shemra al Nisuin Harishayinim Mahu. Another question regarding this topic of Mitzvah Shemra. Let's say that this husband married the woman wasn't Meitzi Shem. He didn't say anything after he had married her. He divorced her, then he remarried her. Then after he remarried her, he was Meitzi Shem, and he says, I just want you to know, father of this second time I'm marrying this woman, is that actually the first time I married her, she didn't even have Besulim, L'mitzas L'bitcha Besulim. So the question is, would that qualify for being a Meitzi Shemra or not? Another question, on Nisui Achiv Mahu, what's if, let's say, he's doing Gibum? His brother married this woman, and then he died right away. And then the Yavam goes ahead and he consummates the relationship by having Gibum, and he says, L'mitzas L'bitcha Besulim. Would that also qualify for the penalties of the Meitzi Shemra? So that thing where it says, from all the questions, Pashud Miyachada, one question at least we can resolve is the last question that was posed. Because the Torah Rabbi Yonah learned in the Braisa, the Pasuk says that the father says, by way of saying that this husband is making up stories, says, Espiti Nisati Lishazai, I gave my daughter over to this man. And it's what he's saying are lies. Now, when he says, I gave my daughter over to this man, Lazev L'Yavim, it has to be that he gave over his daughter to this man and not to his brother. And therefore, a Yavim that's Meitzi Shemra on his brother does not qualify for the parasha of Meitzi Shemra to make the claim of Tainus Besulim. And therefore, at least that one last question was definitely resolved, where that would not qualify for the penalties of Meitzi Shemra. Now, going back from the previous daf, that the Gemara had introduced a machlekes between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan regarding interpreting a machlekes that we had on the previous daf on the bottom of the Amid. So the Gemara asked, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, what is this machlekes that we had referenced on the previous daf regarding if Meitzi Shemra, if the parasha qualifies to be in that context, it's only if you were Baal, and then you come the next morning and say, oh, I didn't find any Besulim, or is it even if it's Lo Baal? Where's that machlekes? So the Gemara said, Tanya within the Braisa, Kitzar Tzor Shemra, what is the case of the Meitzi Shemra? So the Braisa says, Baal Bezen Ba'amar, the man comes to Bezen, and he says, plainly, Mr. So-and-so, Lo Mitzas L'Bitcha Besulim, I didn't find your daughter, I got married to her last night, I didn't find her having Besulim. So im yesh eid mishes in tzatachtav, so if he has witnesses that she was mezana with another man while that they were engaged, meaning that she was halachically married to him, so yesh l'ksuba mana. So then she only gets a ksuba b'mana, which the Gemara asked right away, im yesh eid mishes in tzatachtav yesh l'ksuba mana. If he has witnesses that can verify and back up his claim that she doesn't have besulim and must have been that she was mezana during the 12 months when they were engaged, she gets a ksuba b'mana? Paskili, what do you mean she gets stoned? So then the Gemara says, halachakama. What the Braisa was saying was, Im yesh edim shezin tzatachtav, you write beskil. If he has witnesses that verify that she was mezana when they were engaged, so then she gets stoned. Zinza me'ikara, if he has witnesses that verify that, yes, she wasn't a besula, he's right that he didn't find her being a besula the previous night, but that she, because the witnesses verify that she was mezana before they even got engaged, then yesh l'ksuba mana, then she gets l'ksuba only as a mana, as a ba'ula, not as a besula of Masayim, because as Rashi points out, obviously this Tana holds that kanasa b'cheskes besula, if you marry a woman under the assumption that she's a besula, which obviously this man did, that's where he's coming to Bezin, and turns out she's a ba'ula, it's not a mekach tois, but she does get a ksuba of a mana only as one of a ba'ula. Now the Braisa continues and says, Nimtza Shashemra ain't a shemra. Let's say it turns out that this bad name is not a real bad name. He made the whole thing up. Then Hulaika Benisin Beyasela, he gets lashes, he has to pay the penalty of the 100 slime. And that's Bain Baal, Ubain Loy Baal. So the Rabbanan say that's whether he had Bia or did not have Bia. If he comes the next morning, even if he didn't have Bia and he says this whole story, either way he's gonna have the whole parasha of Meitzi Shemra. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Loy Nemra had Dvarim Halalo Ilkashabal. It's not true. This parasha of Meitzi Shemra, where he gets these penalties, if he made up this story, is only if he was Baal. And he says, I was Baal, and I didn't find Besulim. Then the thing happens, if he made it all up, he gets his penalties. But if he never had Bia, then the parasha of Meitzi Shemra doesn't begin. Now the Gemara asks a series of questions from the Psukim, which, if literally translated, sounds like a Blazer Ben Yaakov, and therefore asks on how the Rabbanan interpret that, where they say that it's even if Loy Baal. So the Gemara asks Bishlam Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Hind of Siv. So that's what makes sense in the Pesukim, where it says, Uvoi Leha, that he comes to her, and that when he's saying over the story, he says, Ve'ekrav Aleha, that I came to her. Meaning you see from the Pesukim, the way the story is unfolding is that he actually has Bia with her. But El Rabbanon, Mai Uvoi Leha, Ve'ekrav Aleha. But according to Rabbanon, when the Pasuk says that if he marries a woman and he had Bia with her, or that when they sang over the story that I didn't find anything, I came to her and I didn't find Basulim. What does that mean if they're saying it's even if he didn't have Bia? So the Gemara explains when it says Uvoy Lao, that where the Pasuk says Kikech Ish Isha Uvoy Lao Usnea, that he comes to her and he hates her, it doesn't mean that he actually came to her with Bia. It means Ba'alilas, with a plot, meaning he's coming to her already with scheming. And Ve'ekav Lao, when he says over this story, he says, then I came to her and I didn't find Basulim, it means Bidvarim, I came close to her with words. And again, the same idea, not of literally that he came and had Bia, but again, of the story that he's making up. So again, the Gemara asks, Bishlam Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Hainich Siv, that's what the Pasuk says, Lemitzas Lebitcha Basulim. The man comes and tells the father of the wife he just married, he says, I didn't find for your daughter having Basulim. And the reason being is because he had Bia. So obviously that's what it means, he knows that there's no Basulim. El Rabbanan, my loy Mitzas Lebitcha Basulim. But according to Rabbanan, how is he saying, I didn't find by your daughter Basulim? He never even had Bia. The only way if he can know if there's Basulim, if he does Bia, but he didn't have Bia. So what is this that he's saying, I didn't find Basulim? So I think Mark explains, Lemitzas Lebitcha Kashre Basulim. I didn't find for your daughter a way to validate her having Basulim. In other words, I didn't find any witnesses that could refute or be mazim these witnesses that say that she was Mizana. And hence, I cannot be makshir your daughter to say that she really is a valid Basula. So, oh yes, although he wasn't Bayal, but when he's saying is that I didn't find Basulim, is that I didn't find those heck that can refute these other witnesses who say that she was Mizana, that she's obviously not a Basula. So the Gemara continues asking, Bishlam Ublaz Ben Yaakov, that's what the Pasuk says, Ve'ila Basuli Biti. That the father says, no, look, this is the cloth that was by them when they had Bia. These are the Basulim of my daughter. He made up the whole story. So that's obviously because Ublaz Ben Yaakov is saying that they had Bia. But El Rabbanon, my Ve'ila Basuli Biti. But according to Rabbanon, what is the father saying when he says, these are the Basulim of my daughter? According to the Rabbanon, it's even if they didn't have Bia, that she is still a Basula. So how could he say these are the Basulim as if he has it here on the cloth? So now the Gemara says, Ve'ela Kashre Basula Biti, that these are the witnesses that will validate that my daughter has Basulim who refute these other witnesses who are lying and saying that she was Mizana. So again, the Gemara asks, Bishlam Elazar ben Yaakov, Hainich Siv, that's the Pasuk says, who parsed Asimlo, that they spread out the cloth. The father brings a cloth which was there when they had Bia, which can verify that there is the Dam Basulim, there's a way of verifying that she had Basulim. But El Rabbanon, Maya parsed Asimlo, according to Rabbanon, who say it's even if they didn't have Bia, so what type of cloth they're spreading out? She's still a Basula. So Amar Bavo, it's not literal but figurative, in that Perishu Masa Samlu, they identify what he had thrown at her, what he had spread out in her, in other words, the lies that he had spread out. What does it mean, the parsa similar, that they spread out the cloth? Means to say that the witnesses of this party come, but Edim Shalzeh, the witnesses of the other party come. And that they clarify that this dispute like a new cloth. It means that they spread it out and clarify, but it doesn't mean literally. Whereas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, I mean, says no, Dvarim K'Ksavim. If the words as they're written, it means similar mamash. It means the father really brings a cloth and he shows that these are the Basulim. Now, related to this machlekes, the Gemara brings that Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yaakov bar Giyuri Mishmed Rabbi Yechnan. He said the following halacha. He said that Avagav Shalem Etzin Nevachal Tarekul, even though we don't find throughout the entire Torah and halacha Shachilek Hakasev Bein Bia Kedarka LeBia Shalei Kedarka, we don't find that there should be a difference in halacha regarding cohabitation with a woman, whether it's in the normal way or whether it's in the unnatural way. That there should be any difference, and the reason is because the Torah says Mishke Ve'isha, the layings of the woman, which means to say that we compared the layings of the woman for all halachas of arayis, that it doesn't make a difference whether it's the kedarka or shalei kedarka. And therefore, lamaka, soloinchin, regarding getting lashes, regarding getting punishments, there's no difference. Aval, maiti shemra, chilik, but regarding the halacha, maiti shemra, we do find a difference. And that is if he brings witnesses that she had, that his arusa had bia, shalei kedarka, meaning the unnatural way when they were engaged, and turns out that the witnesses are zaymin, that they made up this whole lie, then he does not give the 100 sloim. The reason being is because the Torah says, what's his claim? He comes the morning after the wedding and says, loy metzasi besulim. Now, what does it mean, I didn't find besulim? Must mean in the place where there is besulim, which is only the place of kedarka. Shalei kedarka, there's no besulim that are ruptured when there's bia, And therefore, we find that there is going to be a difference in regarding his claim that he's making. It must be only that the claim was that she was Mizana Kedarka, not Shele Kedarka. And therefore, he says that Ein Chayiv Ad Sheyivel. Therefore, the liability of Meitzah Shema only happens when he has Bia with her, meaning after the Chuppah, when he consummates the relationship. Now, his Bia with his wife is even Shele Kedarka, is even in the unnatural way. In other words, just like it never makes a difference throughout all the other halachas in the Torah. Now, however, but regarding this claim of the bia of his nus that he's claiming that she had when they were engaged, and that he's v'yotzi shemer, he spreads a bad name about her. So regarding that bia, it has to be that he's saying that she had was kedarka, was in the natural way, which the Gemara is going to explain now. Come on, who is this halacha going like? Ikra abanan, if it's like the abanan that we just quoted before. Well, afal gavdalei bal, it's not true, because they say that the claim of the Meitzah Shema and his punishment could even be even if he didn't have bia. And yet this halacha that's being said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan is only if that ein chayv ad sheyivel, until he had bia. Now, it said it's even shleika darka, but you have to have bia. That's not true. Rabban say you don't have to have bia to make the claim and the punishment of the Meitzah Shema. And ikra b'lez ben Yaakov, and if it's going like b'lez ben Yaakov, so we can't tell it beis, but idvi idi kedarka b'inon, he holds that no, you need to have both the claim of the bia that she had and the bia that the husband's having has to be in the natural way. And the reason is because he said dvarm kiksavan. And that is, how could the husband come the next morning and say, I didn't find her having basulam? That would only be if he had bia kedarka in the natural way and he found her that she's a ba'ula. If he had bia shalai kedarka, how could he say to be the literal translation of not finding, but he didn't have in the place where it would be basulam? So who is this halacha Rabbi Yechanan going like? Ella, rather, Shalach Rav Kahana, Mishmei Rabbi Yechanan, rather, Rav Kahana sent in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that actually this halacha is Ein Chayiv at Sheyivel Kedarka, you're right, that it's actually like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that it's only unless he has Bia in the normal way and the Yetzi Shamer Kedarka, and that the rumor that he's spreading about her, that she was Mizana, was that she was Mizana in the normal way, where that qualifies for Dvarm Kiksavan, where this is that Limitzas Labitcha Basulim, because she had lost her Basulim, which is only Kedarka, and the way he knows that she doesn't have Basulim is because he himself was Boil Kedarka in a normal way. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme about the rights that a father has in his daughter. So the Mishnah says, Ha'av Zaka Bebitoy, the father merits in his daughter, at least when she's a Ketano or even a Naira, Bekidusheha, in her Kedushin, when she gets engaged, Bekesef, in the money, meaning the money that she gets when the husband gives her the ring, which is that the Kedushin, whatever money it is that he's using to engage her, goes to the father. And he merits Bishtar, that is, if let's say he receives a Shtar Erisin from the husband who wants to, there's three ways of getting engaged to a woman, Kesar, Shtar, or Bia. The father gets all the rights of them. If she gets engaged with money, it goes to the father. If the prospective husband gives the father a document of engagement, she becomes engaged. And ubabia, which means to say that the father is allowed to give over his daughter to a specific man as for him to allow to have cohabitation with her if it's for the purpose of kedushin. That's the father's rights. He can give her over for that. Moreover, Zakai b'mitziyasa, he merits if his daughter finds a lost object, he gets it. U'b'maisidau, if she earns money, he gets it. U'b'afaras nedirah, if she takes an oath, he can nullify it. U'mekabalas gita, and if his daughter gets divorced from Erisin, at least, just from engagement, before she becomes a begeres, then the father could receive the get and she becomes divorced. Now, however, Rashi points out, if she already became a begeres, or she passed Erisin to Nisuin, then the father has no rights over her, and then he wouldn't be able to receive her divorce. She would have to receive divorce to become divorced. Now, however, the Mishnah continues and says that if, let's say, when the daughter is still in her father's house, she inherits lands from her mother's side, then ve'ena oichel peres b'chaya, the father does not consume the produce from those lands that his daughter inherited from his wife's side. Rather, he has to make for her a separate account. But, of course, Rashi points out, if she dies, then he does inherit her. But as long as she's alive, he doesn't eat from those produce. However, Nisus, when she gets married, Yesra lov habal, so then the husband has more than one over the father, where besides that he merits all the things that we said a father gets in a daughter, he also merits those things and sha'ichel peres. He also consumes the produce of different properties that fall as inheritance to his wife after he had already married her, b'chayahu, even when she is alive. However, additionally, the husband has certain responsibilities. V'chayiv b'mezeinasal, he has to feed her. U'b'perkayna, he's also obligated that if she gets taken as a captive, he has to redeem her, because that's one of the tanai bezdin, as the Mishnah, as we learn in the later Mishnah. V'kvurasa, and he also has to bury her, as the Gemara says later on, that the responsibility, the onus of burial is on the husband, in place of the ksuba, which is that her father places a lot of money in the nadin, in the dowry, which goes into the ksuba, saying that this is what she brings into the marriage, where when she dies, the husband inherits that. So in place of that, they gave the responsibility of him taking care of her burial. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, afilo ani shebi Yisrael, and talking about this idea that the husband has a responsibility for the kfura of his wife, even the poorest man in the Jewish people, lo yifris mishnei chalilin, should not do less than two flutes for the hesped, for the eulogy of his wife, umakainanis, and for a woman that wails to make noise. In other words, that's part of his responsibility, no matter how poor he is, to honor his wife when she passes away. Now the Gemara explains our Mishnah. B'kasa v'nolan, where do we know that the money of Kedushin that a woman gets as a ketana or naira when she gets married, when she's getting engaged, goes to the father? So Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, V'yatza chinam en kasef. Regarding, this is by a Omah of Ria, by a Jewish maidservant, says that when the time is up, she goes out free without any money, which the Gemara will ask, the Gemara asks in Kedushin that actually that's necessary for the Pasuk itself, but be that as it may, the Gemara darshens it as a drasha. What does it mean that she's going out free without any money? Well, obviously free means without any money. So what it means to say is, in kesef l'odin zeh, that when she leaves, which as the Gemara Maseches Kedushin learns that the context of that Pasuk is talking about, when she leaves with simanim, when she has the signs of puberty, when she becomes a naira, so she leaves from this master without any money. But v'yesh kesef l'odin acher, but when she leaves the domain of a different master of hers, which is when she's getting engaged, when she leaves a different person, then there is money. Umanoi, and who is that? That's Aviyah, that's her father. I mean, the reason being is because there is no other master of a Jewish woman besides this one that she sold to, but her father. And therefore we see from that pasuk that when she leaves this master, there's no money. But when she leaves a different master, then the master does get money, which is the father, which is when she gets engaged, that we see that the kesef kedushin goes to the father. So the Gemara asks, how do you know? Ve'ema ledida. Maybe let's say that it goes to her. When the pasuk is coming to tell us that she could become acquired to her husband with kedushim of kesef, the way we should expound this pasuk is, you're right, ain kesef, there's no money when she leaves from this master, but there is money when she has a different leaving. But who said that it goes to the father? There is money because she gets engaged with kesef, but it goes to her, not to the father. So the Gemara says, how can you say that? Hashta v'makabel kiddushah, if we find that the father, he receives the kiddushin. Just like it says a pasuk in Devarim, which is by the context of the Maitzi Shema, es biti nisati l'shazeh, my daughter I have given to this man, meaning it's the father who gives it over, meaning he receives the kiddushin. By doing that, it's his giving over the rights of his daughter. And he shak l'kaspa, but the daughter takes the money. If he's accepting the kiddushin, he gets the money, not the daughter. So the Gemara says, fine, but the imahanimili, maybe say that when did the Torah say that it's the father that receives the kedushin, as he says it's bita nesati, that it's in his domain to give over the daughter. So if it's his domain to give it over, obviously he gets the money. Maybe that's only by a katana, by a minor under the age of 12, the less lo yad, where the minor doesn't have the ability on her own rights to be mekadosh herself. Now Rashi points out one thing, although that pasuk is written by the Parsha Mitzvah Shemra, and actually the Parsha Mitzvah Shemra is talking about by Naira, so how could we say that Espiti Nesati L'Shazeh, which is given the rights to the father, is only by Katana? He says that's not a contradiction, because maybe what the pasuk is saying is that this daughter I have given over when she's a minor, and now she's a Naira, and now this person is making claims about her that there's no Besulim. So it could be that the rights are still when she's a Katana. And that would make sense when the father has the rights, because then the daughter doesn't have the ability. So maybe then is when it's the father who receives the kedushin. Aval Naira de Islo Yad, but a Naira who's over 12, that she has the ability to be Makadosh herself, maybe Ihi Tikdish Navsha, maybe she does get herself engaged, V'i Tishkel Kaspa, and that she takes the money. How do we know by a Naira that the father is Zeicha Bebitai Bekdusha Bekasef, even when she's a Naira? So that the Gemara answers Amakran. Now the Pasuk says, in the context of the Nedarim of a daughter, that Binureho Besavia, that as a youth in the father's household, the father has rights over her, he can nullify her vow. Now, to what we see that, at least that in her youth, she's in her father's house, what does that mean? Kol shvach ne'urim lo'avia, any gain that a Naira has goes to her father. And that's how we know that her kesef kedushin, even when she's a Naira, goes to her father. But on that, the Gemara asks, ve'lohod amrav huna amrav, that he says, minayin shemaisa habas lo'avia. Rav says, how do we know that a daughter's earnings go to the father? Which is one of the halachas that we mentioned. Where do we know that from? Shnema, he says, because it says in the Pasuk, the Pasuk says that if a man will sell his daughter as a maidservant, which he has rights as a minor, now, but it's compared bito la'ama. And therefore we say, ma ama maisi del rabbi, just like a maidservant, her earnings goes to her master. Avbas maisi del avia. So to a daughter, her earnings go to the father. That's how we know that the daughter's earnings go to her father. Now, on that the question is, lamali, why does Rab need that Pasuk to learn that her maisi daim, her earnings go to the father from there? Typically, Minareb Besavia, what do you mean? You just said that you could learn that from the Pasuk of Minareb Besavia, that any shvach, any income, anything that she gets that's a surplus goes to the father. So, Ella, rather, the reason why we don't learn from there, and that's why Rav has to have a different Pasuk for earnings, is because Ahuba Farsna Dharma would have said that's written in a specific context of nullifying her vows. That we see, but who said that it would apply to every other type of shvach? Now, v'chitem and elephant, and if you're going to say, but let's learn out from there, just like over there she's in her father's domain, even as a naira, so too regarding these areas of monetary law. And that Allah says, no, because m'mayna misur la'yafin, you cannot learn out monetary law from prohibitory law. By an isur, maybe she's in her father's domain, but who said as a naira that she's in her father's domain, that he gets the kesef kedushin? Now, v'chitem and elephant, and if you're going to say that we should learn out that her kesef kedushin goes to the father when she's a naira, miknasa, from the penalties that the father merited when, let's say, she's violated, when she's seduced, where the Torah says that the nasal avia naira, that you give it to the father, the naira, but that also, mimayin meknas la'yafinan, you cannot learn out monetary law from penalty laws, which they're very different. Therefore, maybe by penalties the father gets, who says by monetary law. And v'chitem enelef mebayish begam, and if you're going to say that we should learn it out from another area of monetary law, which is the embarrassment that the daughter gets, or the depreciation and the value that she gets, which the Gemara taught in Perakei L'Nairis and Avmema Mabez, that goes to the father. So maybe you should learn that regarding Kesef Kedushin also, and that the Gemara says no. Because Shani Boishe Zabagam, the reason why over there it goes to the father, is because the Via Nami Shaykh Bey, because that also applies to the father. In other words, it's within his rights to take money to have her embarrassed through a Bia. And to go ahead and give her over in Kedushin to, let's say, someone that's a disgusting person or that's afflicted with boils. And similarly, he could be poigama with that type of a marriage. So that's something that he has rights in. So it makes sense that when someone else takes that away by violating his daughter or seducing, that money should go to him. But who said Kesef Kedushin, when she's in Naira, should go to the father? So El Rav, the Gemara says, that going back to the original question that you asked, okay, so we had a drasha from Rabbi Huda, that v'yatzachinim ein kasev, that there's no money when she leaves this master that she was a slave to, but there is money to this master, the father, when she leaves him. And you asked, okay, fine, there is money, but who said it goes to the father? Maybe it should go to her. That the Gemara says, mistabra, it makes sense, it's logical to say, that the chimimaydrach mana, that when the Torah makes a miut, it makes an exclusion, that it, regarding the leaving of the father's domain when she gets engaged, in contrast to the halacha when she leaves the master domain that she was a slave to, when she brings manam of nairis, that you'd see the kavasalkamamait, that we would exclude a very similar type of a leaving. In other words, just like when she leaves the domain of the adoin, of the master that she was a slave to, if there would be an element of money, we're saying in the pasuk that there's no necessity of paying your way out, which is because you bring nairis, you bring proof that you reach the age of puberty, then you could go out. Now, but if there would have been money, obviously it would go to the master that you're leaving from, because that's actually another halacha that there is, where if, let's say, a slave is sold for a certain amount of money, there's halacha that you could pay your way out. Let's say there's another 10 years left, and it was 10 years, and it was $100 that the slave was sold for, so that means to say, every year is going to be a tenth of that, which is $10. So if, let's say, there's 5 years left, it's going to be $50. So there are ways of paying your way out, and whatever's left, that's given to the master. So when we're saying that there is no money, it means to say that there's no money for the master. So therefore, here also, when we're talking about an exclusion of a different leaving, where they're the master that she's leaving from, there will be money, it means to say that the master will be getting it and not her. Now, if we would say that the money of Kedushin would go to her, then there wouldn't be a Yitzid de Kavasa, and therefore it makes sense to say that the money that's being had by this other master is the money that's going to the master and not to the woman. And that's the source how we know that the Kesef Kedushin of even the Naira goes to the father. But not the Gemara asked, but V'holei Dam Yehal Yitzia, but how can you compare, because the Yitzia of Kedushin, when she leaves her father's domain, is not comparable to HaYitzia, to when the Amavriya leaves her master. Because Hasam Gabi Adin, there when she leaves her master, Nafkala Mishu Silagami, she totally leaves his rights. Once she leaves this being as a Amavriya, she's never going to see him again, she has nothing to do with him. Whereas Yitzia the Av, when she leaves from the father with Kedushin, Akati Mechster Mesila Chupa, she's still missing an element of totally leaving the father's domain, which is when she's given over by the Chupa, and then she has Nisuin. So she's still in the father's domain after Kedushin, which is the father still inherits her, and the father still gets her Ma'aseh Dayim, gets her earnings, and therefore how can you compare when you say V'yotzachinim in Kosef, that when she leaves one master, there's no money, when she leaves the other master, that then there is going to be money. So we said that fine, okay, by Kitana it makes sense that the father is the only one that has the rights. But the Gemara's question was, by Naira, where she could marry herself off, she has yet, maybe she gets it. So on that we answer that no, she's not getting it, because we're comparing it to Yitzid de Kavasa, where the Yitzid de Kavasa is that it's exactly like that other case, where it's the master who's not getting, but in this case the master would be getting, and not the woman herself. But the Gemara says, but the whole limud is not exactly the same, because there it's totally leaving, and here it's not totally leaving, and therefore if it's not totally leaving, how can we make the comparison that there's no money, and here there will be money to the master? So that the Gemara says, no, but mehafaras nedarim mia nafkala mishrusei. No, it is similar to leaving that master of Amavriya, because on some level she is totally leaving a halacha that she had in a total way up until now by her father, and that is regarding the halacha of her oaths. Because up until now, before she got engaged, the father was the only one that was necessary to nullify her vows. But now the father could only nullify the vows in partnership together with the man that she's engaged to. They're not like learning Mishnah Masechta Nedarim, Naira HaMayrasa, regarding a Naira that's engaged, Avio Bailam Afirin La Nedarau. The father and the husband have to jointly be made for her Nedar. And therefore, on some level, she is totally leaving her father's domain. Meaning, not for every halacha, but in one aspect, she has left. And therefore, and that's because regarding Nedarim, he can't do it anymore himself. So it is comparable to Yitzia of the Adam where she has left. And therefore, again, since we're saying it exactly, precisely, it makes sense that it's going to the father and not to the Naira, because just like there it would have gone to the master, but it doesn't. Here we're saying that it does go to the master, it goes to the actual master. Now, that was regarding Kesef. But then the Mishnah said the same thing applies to when she gets engaged with a Shtar, a document, Ubiyo, with capitation. And that the Gemara asks, Minolon, from where do we know that it's within the father's rights to be Mekadeshar and to force her against her will, and by him receiving the shtar or by giving her over for bia, he has the rights to do that. And the Gemara says, I'm a credit. The Pasuk says in Devarim, that's talking about in a different context. When a woman gets divorced, then she goes and she gets married to a different man. Now, but what we see from Vahaisa is that Iskish Havoyis La Dodi, that we compare all types of Kedushin, they're used in whatever term it is, that she's Haisal Ish Acher, she gets engaged to another man. And that would mean any type of a Havaya, but it's used in one phraseology. And therefore, we learn, just like we just proved, that her Kesef Kedushin is in her father's domain. So too the other types of Kedushin, which is Shtar and Bia, are also in her father's domain. Now, the fact that a woman could become Mekudeshes with a document or with Bia is actually learned in Masechta Kedushin, the source for that in its own right. But what we see is that they're all together. And therefore, if the father has rights in one type of Kedushin, which is Kesef, then he obviously has the rights in Shtar and in Bia.